If you would like a free newsletter on this or other subjects, just give us a call at Christian Answers. The phone number is area code 512-218-8022. That's 512-218-8022. Or you could email us at cdebater@aol.com. That's cdebater@aol.com. Thank you. Greetings and welcome once again to our program. I'm Larry Wessels, your host. I'm the director of Christian Answers, and I want to thank you for being with us today. As you know, if you've been a regular viewer of our shows, that we cover all kinds of theological subjects. The subject we're going to cover today is one we've never covered before, and that is the subject of prison ministry. And joining me here in studio today is our very special guest, Ken Barber of Grace Outreach Ministry.
Thank you, Larry.
Ken, great to have you here, brother.
Good to be with you.
Ken's intimately involved in prison ministry, and he's going to give us a good overview of it and, of course, his own personal testimony in relation to this subject. Now, just as a lead into this program, I'd like to say that for those of you who have been regular viewers of our program, be advised that we do have free newsletters that we offer any of our viewers on different subjects. We've got one here, for instance, on spiritual warfare, one on the agony of deceit. There are false things being propagated out there in the world today. Here's another one on From Tradition to Truth, a priest's story, personal testimony. There are a wide range of subjects we deal with. And if you need information from a biblical perspective, please contact our ministry, and we'll be more than happy to send you free literature on that subject. Now, today, I'd like to focus our attention on the subject at hand, which is prison ministry. Now, as you know, you probably don't know this, but in the Bible, starting with the Old Testament, there are 47 references in the Old Testament to prison. And when you go to the New Testament, there's 43 references. The word prisoner is mentioned 13 times throughout the Bible. Prisoners, 20 times. Prisons, in the plural, 3 times. And overall, you get 83 references to the term prison, prisoners, prisons, and so forth. Prison house, you get that also, particularly in the King James Version of the Bible. And, of course, we know of many famous prisoners that are mentioned throughout the Bible. We think of Joseph, as mentioned in Genesis 39, verse 20 and following, going up through the next chapter of Genesis. Think of Samson in Judges chapter 16, verses 21 through 25, where after he was captured by the Philistines, he was put in a prison house and was made to grind for them. And one of my favorite little tiny prophets that maybe may not be so famous is Micaiah, who prophesied to Ahab that he wasn't coming back from this battle he was going to. Mentioned in 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 27, and of course Ahab didn't appreciate that.
Amen.
And had him thrown in jail. But it turned out he was right, as it turned out. And then you've got another little prophet that's probably not that famous, but another story I like in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 verse 10, Hananiah, who had the audacity to tell one of the Israelite kings how he had failed to do something where he could have got a better blessing from God, and because he had the audacity to tell this Israelite king, I think it was Asa, if my memory serves me correct. The king didn't like it and had him thrown into jail. Sometimes you can get thrown in jail even if you're telling the truth. As we find out, particularly about the prophet Jeremiah, definitely telling the truth, thrown in jail. Jeremiah 37, verse 21. You've got John the Baptist, another man telling the truth, thrown in jail, then later beheaded. And references such as Mark chapter 1, verse 14, chapter 6, verse 17 and following, and on through to Matthew chapter 4, verse 12, and so forth. John the Baptist. Also, the Apostle Peter is thrown in jail in Acts chapter 12, verse 3 through 11. Paul, of course, almost the whole ending of the book of Acts. It's all about him being arrested in prison, in chains, starting in Acts chapter 21, verse 33, and going throughout the end of the book, basically, shipwreck while he's still a prisoner and so forth, and many other references. But of course, the most famous person who may not have ended, let's say, in prison, but was nevertheless arrested and was under guard and all these types of things was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And you see here, throughout all the gospel accounts, he was a prisoner of the scribes and the Pharisees, and then eventually led over to the Romans to be crucified. And you get that in Mark chapter 14 and throughout all the different gospels which give the crucifixion account, particularly of his trial before Pilate and so forth. And of course, that's not to mention places like Acts chapter 16, where you have the Philippian jailer, and he's dealing there with the miraculous disappearance, you might say, of two prisoners, Paul and Silas, who were held prisoner there in the stocks. But then the Lord, by an angel, let them go out of the prison house. So we find that many of the famous people and major characters in the Bible were prisoners, were in prison, and know what it's like. And many of these men were in prison simply because they told the truth that men don't want to hear. And we find in famous references, particularly like Jesus gives in Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46, he talks about how we're to visit those in prison and help those that need help and so forth. But Jesus did not forsake the care of prisoners. He specifically mentioned it in that reference in Matthew chapter 25. Now, with all this as a preface to my guest here, Ken, I'd like you to start to take over the show. You have what I think is an outstanding testimony that I want to share with the viewers at home. And also, if you could, just before you get into that tremendous testimony that you have, tell a little bit about the Grace Outreach Ministry and what they do, and then let's hear that great testimony of your experience with prison.
Amen. Well, all those men that you just mentioned were in prison for the right reason. I have a pastor friend that says the problem with most preachers today is they've never been to jail, and it would probably serve most of them well if they went to jail a time or two, because it tends to open your eyes up. Now, I was in prison for the wrong reason. I was in prison for the reason prison was intended, actually. So I can't sit here and say that I was a prisoner because of what I did right. I was a prisoner because of what I did wrong. Now, I do believe the Bible teaches that God ordained the powers that be. Now, I wouldn't go as far as to say that I agree with the way our prison system necessarily is, or with the way everything's handled, but it is a fact that we know that prison is necessary, and therefore men are going to go there for wrongdoing. And it's a touchy situation. It really is, because there are those in prison who are there to be guards. There are those who are in administration, and it's necessary. So there's a fine line here between prison ministry and prison administration, which sometimes comes into conflict. You're speaking there of men who went to prison for telling the truth. Well, usually today in America, you don't go to prison for telling the truth. You will get kicked out sometimes, though, for telling the truth. So there is a fine line there. And that's a subject we'll deal with at another time. We're not here today really to criticize anything, but to share Christ and why I'm in prison ministry. God saved me. I was facing 99 years, my third time down. The ministry that I have now is not some great ministry. I don't have a big name like Mike Barber, though my name, Ken Barber, gets confused with Mike sometimes, and as a result, I get some favors, and I get doors open to me that wouldn't have been open because I'm mistaken for Mike, you know. So, but I'm an ex-offender. The difference in my ministry and maybe Mike's or Bill Glass or one of those guys is they get into prison because they have a big name and they have a concern for prisoners. My situation is the opposite. I became a Christian in jail. I was facing 99 years, my third time down. By all rights, I should have never been free. I'm not here today to make it sound like that I was unjustly treated, because I wasn't. I mean, while I was in prison, I was, you know, because there is injustice in there. But I got what I deserved, and I probably should have gotten more. So I'm here today to testify not to anything but the saving grace of God. And I have a prison ministry because I got saved in prison. I was facing 99 years, my third time down. By all standards, I grew up poor. My daddy was a drinker. I guess by world standards, I wasn't poor because we had enough money to make it. It's just my daddy had an alcohol problem that used up all of our money. I grew up not in a Christian home. I didn't grow up hearing the gospel except for when people would come to my house and take me to church. But that's what I want to share with you today. Prison ministry is a great ministry. There's a lot of things that go on in prison ministry. Some prison ministries are effective and some aren't. But the most important thing I believe about prison ministry is Christ. I was facing, like I said, 99 years. I never expected to ever be free again. I was in the Gonzales County Jail when I got saved. It's hard sometimes to share these things because we don't want anybody to think that we're trying to glorify sin. But yet, we want people to know that Christ died for sinners. I hear so often today in our system about how we need to get tough on crime. You know, we have so many things going on today that are, I believe, some injustices that are the result of that. Because, you know, we put a man in prison or we put him in jail and then we treat him like an animal. We give him an ID that says offender. So every day he gets up, he's an offender. He's talked to like an offender. He's treated like an offender. He's cursed. And some folks say, well, he deserves that. He's being punished for his crime, and that may be true. But I really don't think that you have to do that. I don't. I believe giving a man time, taking him off the streets, and putting him in prison is enough to get his attention. If you're gonna get his attention, to continue to treat him that way, I believe probably makes him worse. We have an 80% recidivism rate in the United States, straight across, and we can't blame anybody. I'm not going to try to point the finger and blame anybody, but I believe the warden at the Angola prison, that was the bloodiest prison in America, has shown that if you apply Christian principles in one of the worst settings in the world, it can change things. And that's now a model prison, a prison where most of the men will never get out. They're lifers, and that's why it was so hard to control, because if a man has nothing to lose, he'll do anything. But Warden Kane came in there and began to treat men like men, even though they've done what they've done, and present Christ to them. And it's made a difference in that prison. Now, again, I'm here to give my testimony this morning, but I want to preface those things. I want folks to know that, you know, just because you lock a man up and throw away the key, there's still a man in there, and taxpayer money's going to feed him, and there's still a situation that you're going to have to deal with that man getting out of prison one day. So my question is, do we want him coming out better than he went in, or do we just want him coming out so we can put him back in? And I believe that the way we treat a man while he's in prison will go a long way, if he's going to change, to helping him change. If you treat a little kid bad all his life, he's going to grow up bad usually. And that's probably, for the most part, what's going on today. That's why our prisons are so full, is because of their upbringing, most of them. And I think that if we try to offset some of that by how we treat people, now that it's all done, we may go a lot farther in changing that person's attitude, and hope, maybe, you know, giving him a little bit of hope that, you know, well, I'm a convict, I'll always be a convict, and I'll never be able to change, and if I do, they won't treat me like I have anyway. And that's usually what goes on. That's what I've had to face. But Christ is the answer. If a man is ever going to be really changed, Christ can change them. And that's why I go to prison. That's why I give my testimony, not to glorify the past, not to glorify myself, but to say, as imperfect as I am, I'm not what I used to be. I was facing 99 years for aggravated robbery. Aggravated robbery simply means, and you know, the laws have changed over the years, but that means that when I robbed the person I did, I used a weapon, and I put him in fear of bodily harm. And so it wasn't just robbery, it was aggravated robbery. I took a knife and put it to his throat and told him that if he didn't give me what I was asking for, that I was going to hurt him. So that's aggravated robbery. Now, before I committed that crime, I've committed many crimes. I started out stealing when I was in the second or third grade. I would steal from my mother.